Podcast 76, Jesus Manifesto. The gospel passage for this podcast is Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. What do you understand the word manifesto to mean? Probably we would think of documents such as the Communist Manifesto, written by Karl Marx. The Treaty of Waitangi might be called the founding document or manifesto of Aotearoa New Zealand. Do you have a manifesto, words that you live by, sort of like a fridge magnet or a bumper sticker slogan? I've got a fridge magnet that says, I'd be unstoppable if I could only get started. And does the Anglican Church have a manifesto? Probably the closest thing to that is what is known as the 39 Articles. This is a brief and condensed statement of what Anglican Christians believe, formulated in 1563 by the reformers Thomas Cranmer and Joseph Ridley as a kind of framework of Anglican theology. And I guess the parish has a manifesto as well. We've got our vision statement booklet, which kind of defines who we are and what we believe. Now, returning to Jesus, in Luke's account of the life of Jesus, immediately after he's baptized by John, he's tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And following this test, he begins his ministry back in Galilee, preaching and teaching in synagogues. And Jesus then returns to his hometown of Nazareth. Probably at this point he's based in Capernaum and no longer living in Nazareth. And the passage we're studying today represents Jesus' manifesto. Jesus sets out his mission and purpose by defining his ministry in terms of the prophecy of Isaiah, found in Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 2 and Isaiah 58 verse 6. This passage is put front and centre by Luke as the first public act of Jesus' ministry, unlike the Gospel of Mark, which has the event much later. As scholars such as Robert Alter note, the first recorded speech of a person in the Gospels has an important and defining force in the characterization of the person who makes it. Sort of like the maiden speech in Parliament when a newly elected MP speaks for the first time. Jesus is in his hometown, Nazareth, reading the scripture as he is entitled to do as a circumcised Jewish male at the regular Shabbat service in the synagogue. Doubtless he had done this duty many times, and the company of the community who knew him. So once he's read the passage from Isaiah, there's some points to make about this initial reading. Firstly, Jesus is implicitly identified here as God's anointed one. He claims that this prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled in their hearing. Secondly, Jesus identifies the primary messianic duty as the work of liberation, good news for the poor, the blind, the captives, and the oppressed. Thirdly, Jesus uses this quote from Isaiah to link himself to the work of the Old Testament prophets in their prophetic call for justice. Fourthly, Jesus declares that the message of God's salvation is open for everyone who God may call, including Gentiles, because there's no Jewish identity in the list of the poor, the blind, the captives, and the oppressed. So as a church, as an Anglican church in New Zealand, we are called to be part of Jesus' manifesto. What does this mean for us today? So some examples of both at both local and national level of the church that we do are things like supporting the local food banks by contributing food items or money, contributing financially and prayerfully to local and international mission that serve the poor and the oppressed, like the Anglican Board of Missions, people like Gabriel and Biz, and then personally you may have contributed to things like Barnabas Fund, Tear Fund, World Vision, Leprosy Mission. And next, I guess, one something that you may not be so aware of is the work of the Anglican Church in New Zealand through the Family Centre Social Policy Research Unit. This is based in Lower Hutt, and what it does, it provides research-based data on issues such as child poverty in New Zealand. This centre was instrumental in establishing the rationale for the living wage and how it is calculated. So without that research presented to Parliament, it's very doubtful whether New Zealand would now have a living wage rate, which is adjusted every year. So back to Jesus. He stands up in the synagogue at Nazareth and declares his manifesto. This manifesto is universal, not just focused on religious Jewish people, who are the people sitting in front of him, or even Jewish people in general. It is focused both inwards and outwards. Jesus' mission is to the Jews first, but his mission eventually becomes to the whole world, Jews and Gentiles. Jesus declares his purpose and mission in terms of proclaiming good news and freedom for the prisoners, giving sight to the blind, and setting the oppressed free. All of these are outward-facing items in terms of their direction, not inward-facing. I think one of the dangers for the church today, and including this parish at this time, is that our focus becomes too inward-looking. We become absorbed in our own internal issues and problems. We're weary and don't have any energy or vision for our mission in the world. Yet that is what Jesus' manifesto points us to. Jesus' manifesto is concerned with the world, and his disciples are partners with him in reaching out to the world. As we move forward into this new year as a community of faith, let's remember it's not just all about us. Jesus calls us to be his servants in a hurting world, as well as looking after each other and supporting each other in this fellowship. This is a both and, not an either or. We must balance our parish family efforts, which are important and necessary, with our mission of proclamation. Jesus' manifesto is also the manifesto of the church.